before we do that.
Yes. So I don't remember his name. Moshe David Ben. Does anybody remember? Naftali something.
Leah. Oh, his father's name?
Father's name.
Leah is the mother's name.
So
I want to tell a quick story about Moshe Avrik Olav HaShalom, who I was an associate of mine and did a tremendous amount for Kiruv, and he was a very good Jew. But at Mosaica Press, we published a book of his, which was Slugging Up Atheism. And he was a very big medayik and everything. And our editors, you know, gave us this manuscript, which was very complex and very long. He was a big mind. He was a big head. We don't think of that when it comes to an appliance repairman, but he was a big head like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. And so the editors made some changes to his manuscript. You know, just, in a typical manuscript, we can make a thousand changes, even from, you know, Gedolim. But he got very upset. Like, you know, every word here is thought out, and what are you making changes? And you don't know the subject properly, not at me, but at the staff. He got very upset about it. And on the other hand, like, we felt that this was the right thing to do, make these changes. And we were going back and forth. And then he came to see me once in my office, which was in the old shul. And he came and he sat with me and he said, "Remeinu cheshbon ha-nefesh." And I realized that the reason I'm resistant to these changes is completely ego. Has nothing to do with what's emes and what's not emes. And I realized that I'm reacting from I worked hard on this and I am invested in this and it's completely ego. And I decided to retract completely from any changes. Whatever you say to change, that's what should be changed, because this is not my Yetzer Tov speaking here. And I just remember that story yesterday, which is, you know, on one hand, sort of a simple thing, you know, but not complicated, not Kabbalistic. But on the other hand, how many of us can do that? Can divide between that which is, take out the voice that's talking inside of us, the voice that's making us angry or makbid or intolerant, and, you know, and just taking it out and putting it in front of us and saying, "Hey, what is that voice? You know, where is that voice coming from?" How many of us want to do that even? Like, you know, we're very comfortable with our anger. But there are things that it's justified to be angry, and maybe that was even one of them. But I just, like, you know, we did a lot in Kiruv. We made a big contribution to the Kiruv world, and there was a lot going on there, in his head. And he had a complicated life, but I'm just, like, the ability to for a person to be so in touch with themselves is something that we all have to learn from. So being that you had the good wisdom, Dan, to devote the shir to his memory, just like this emistic part of him should go before the Kisei HaKavod, which is all emes, the Olam HaEmes, and it'll do him well.
Amen. Birshut HaRav, can I add one thing about him?
Yeah.
The book is really it's an excellent, excellent book, and it just drips with his personality. And he was so funny. The book is, first of all, it's a beautiful book, and it will move you even if you already have a relationship with Hashem. But it will also make you laugh out loud, as it did me many, many times. And his voice just shines through the book. He was a person who was, despite his, as the Rav put it, very complicated life, every time I saw him, he had a smile on his face. So his neshama should have an aliyah.
Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you. We are in finishing up Shar Dalet Parakhaf. And of course, before we learn this, I want to just share something with you. Which I think is Nogueia, but if I need a shoehorn to make it Nogueia, I want to say it anyway. The Welt says, I'm just thinking about the presidential inauguration that took place yesterday, along with so many different things that are going on in the world right now in the last couple of weeks and last few months. And I went downstairs to have a cup of coffee, and my wife was watching the inauguration speech, and I was watching it for a few minutes. I didn't see the whole thing. I didn't hear the whole thing, but maybe 5 minutes of it. And what immediately occurred to me is that people often say, Lev Malachim, Lev Malachim Biyad Hashem, or there's another girsa which says, Lev Malachim Vesarim Biyad Hashem, and there's another girsa which says, Lev Malachim Bashumayim. I presume that the correct source text is the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Aleph, that Lev Malachim, Lev Melech, Biyad Hashem, that's the words, but it all means the same thing. I'm just Lev Melech Biyad Hashem, which is very interesting because we could put so much effort here locally or do a lot of thinking about politics and leaders and what's better for Israel and what's better for the Jews and all that. It's natural to do that, and that's the right thing, I think, to do. But I think something that we need to accept is that once somebody becomes the melech, then he's the melech biyad Hashem. His lev is biyad Hashem. So it means that, I just want to try to understand a little bit what it means, as a matter of fact. I'm just going to mute everybody if nobody minds. Like, what exactly does that mean, lev melech Biyad Hashem? And I once heard on a different note, I once heard that Rav Brevda, Malav Shalom, say in a shir, I remember saying that like the Tanakh and the Tefillah is full of the word lev. It's like one of the most common, the same belief, Beinu Bina. It's one of the most common words, Daber Lev Paroi. Vayachbid Hashem is Lev Paroi. We say the word Lev all the time. And then the Rav Brevda's words, if I remember them exactly, he said, and here you see a Maisa Sutton that of the probably one of the most common concepts of Yiddishkeit, and nobody really has any idea what a lave is. he was commenting on the fact that, like, we don't stop to think. A Maisa Sutton, he called it. We don't stop to think. We say this all the time. So many psukim, so many different places and ways, and we don't stop to think for a minute, what is the lave? What is it? Would we repeat it over? Over and over and over and over again, we daven with about the lev. Rachmana liba boy. The Torah. In order to understand the Torah, you need a lev. The Torah is lev. However, lev comes out. Dabru al lev Yerushalayim v'kiru eila. What is the lev Yerushalayim? What does it mean? So in English, there's like, we talk about the heart of the matter, or have a heart. In the Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Gimel Perek Yotes, I think, in Shar Beis, when he talks about Nefesh Ruach Neshama. So he places the lave on a chart, and the lave is... if we talk about the world of emotion, lev is usually associated with emotion. So the Nefesh HaChaim says that nefesh, ruach, neshama, between ruach and neshama is the lev. And the lev stands above the world of asiyah, which is the world of even machshava. The lev is machshava, dibur, maisa, all sort of in the gashmius of this world, the decisions that we make. But think about it for a moment, that what goes into the decisions that we make? Why does one person come up with one decision and one person come up with another decision? They're both smart, honest people. So the answer is that their lev is different. The gra, by the way, in that pasuk in Mishlei, Mishlei Chaf Aleph, pasuk Aleph, he says that the lev stands above, the emotion stands above any decision that we make, and therefore, elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Listen to this. Like Hillel and Shammai are having a machlokes, and they're coming out two different ways. But that's here. But when you go here, elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. So they're both belei ve'echad of loymei Torah lishma. They're both coming from the same place, and how it manifests itself lamaisa could be different. The tachlis is that you're dealing with a level which is higher than machshava when you're dealing with lev. You know, so I'll give you an example of this. Like, Dabra alev Yerushalayim v'kiru ela. So what is the Navi Yeshayahu? Navi Yeshayahu is going to visit, according to Chazal, the Makam HaMikdash, immediately after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Just like we have Shabbos Nachamu immediately after Tisha B'Av, there's a Masorah that the Navi, the Haftarahs that we read, are actually the time that the Navi said what he said. So it was right after Tisha B'Av, Chorban, Misa, Galus, empty. And the Navi comes and he says, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Everyone should feel comforted. It sounds so nonsensical, you know. Maybe in 100 years, maybe in 1,000 years, maybe after the Purim story. But, you know, now the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, where everything that we built since the time of Yehoshua bin Nun, everything that Shlomo HaMelech built, it's all destroyed and there's no people. And it's all described, and it was because of our Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. So the answer, like, it's the same as every Nichum Avelim. Because when you go to a Beis Avel, and the person had a great loss, and there's a piece missing in their life. So the idea is not to work it out logically with the person as to why you have this loss. Maybe it's your Averis that you had the loss, which is usher to say, by the way. That's like we learned from Chavrei Iov, that you're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to tell the person to do tshuva. You're not allowed to tell the person that it was nothing. People die. You have to give nechama, and nechama means that you speak to the lave. Nechama is all about speaking to the lave. It's not about, it's a level higher than the level of chachma. So where Chachma is like this, and it can be divided into two, into Hillel and Shammai, that's the place where the Ichud is in the Lev, which is very much part of the emotion. So when we say, Dabru Alev Yerushalayim V'kiru Ela Nachamu Nachamu Ami, we're giving a Nachama to this is what he was told. This was the Nevuah. Speak to the Lev. Dvarim HaYotzim in Alev Nichnasim Al Alev. So, you know, like if you and I, or a husband and a wife, or a business partner, if they're having some kind of a machlokas, where they need to connect is not necessarily in having all this logical discussion back and forth and back and forth until somebody gives in and somebody agrees that, okay, good. But the correct way of doing it, if you can do it, is to meet on the place of lev. They have to be belei ve'echad. They have to be belei ve'echad in order for there to be. So like, sometimes the way to get out of machlekes is to get over here. So I'm thinking that, everybody with me on this? Lev is the, which I think everybody agrees that emotion drives decisions. Yeah. And you can have all this chachma and all these mathematical calculations, but the fact is, emotion, that's basically what I think Moshe Avraham was saying. That was his nekuda here, that the emotion is driving this argument, and that's not right. So I've got to take a step back. When we say Lev Melech Biad Hashem, I mean, you know, God knows how much politics and how much machlokes and how much pressure and how much, you know, and you think to yourself, like, oy vey, like, you know, how is anybody like this going to, you know, run the world? You know, it's just so scary. You know, the President of the United States, possibly the most powerful person in the world. And so different than it was just a week ago, you know. But I think what we need to understand is that Hashem nasan lelevav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling the higher part, which is the lev. And we found this throughout history, that the lev is causing a different type of chachma. And even if we can't rely on that person's chachma, or that chachma is giving into pressure, or there are so many political or gashmius reasons to make the wrong decision, we have to rely on Hashem, that he's taking care of the lev part of this, and that'll work. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And the melech, any melech, whether it's paro, or whether it's a melech toiv, or a melech ra, that the lev in that melech is bashomayim, it's beyond Hashem. That's where Hashem comes in. So in our parshias, Hashem machbid as lev paroi. So everybody asks, the Ramban, the Rishonim asks that, okay, well, if Hashem is machbid as lev, you know, so where is his bechira chavshus? Kushi atzuma. Like, how could Hashem take away his bechira? He still had bechira chavshus, ladati. Had Bechir Chavshus, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away, or he did something with the lave here. It means you could still choose over here, but it's going to need a lot of gevura to go against your emotion. But he hardened his heart, means that he hardened the part that's above the Chachma. And Chachma would tell him a million times, look, you know, we're getting plague after plague in this country. And this Moshe Rabbeinu, there's something going on with him, because he's able to make the plague, he's able to start the plague. But Hashem manipulated the emotion of Paro, in order to make the point. In other words, I was helping you until now, but now I'm not going to help you on that part any longer with the plague. And in fact, that Hashem hardened his heart is the perfect example of Lev Melachim Bihad Hashem. That's a perfect example. And when Yosef went to the Paro, had a whole different reaction, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was controlling his lev in a different way. Okay. Everybody with me? Yukes. And I say it because it gets back to, apropos, it gets back to our chart of how the whole system works.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does that somehow absolve then the melech from evil that he does, since it's Yad Hashem?
I think so. I think not, but it does challenge them. Meaning, like, I think this is the point with Pari, that you still have Bechira Chavshus. I think that's the answer to the Ramban's question. But I was helping you before on the emotional level to try to get a feel for how you should decide. But you still have Bechira Chavshus 100%. Look, how many people are challenged in so many different ways, and somehow or another, this is Torah. You make the right decision, even though you're challenged.
Mostly.
You try, right? This is the challenge of life. This is the challenge of good decision making, to not be caught up. But usually you say, don't get caught up with your emotions. But what we're saying here now is, you know, don't get caught up with your chachma. The chachma is on a much lower, a nidriker level.
So okay. What does it mean, Rachman Aliba boy?
In order to understand Torah, and we've seen this over and over again, you can't just understand it on a chachma level. You have to be able to understand the lev hadvarim. And in other words, the Torah was given is given through so many different levels, and levels that are above our chachma, dahainu lev. And you can't try to understand Torah only intellectual, as some professor would do. Like, you need to understand the heart of the matter. But I mean, I don't mean the heart of the matter the way it's used in the English language. I mean, I don't mean a vernacular heart of the matter. I mean, like, you have to be able to understand on a level that's not nothing to do with your brain, Rahman Ali Babai. And otherwise, you're not going to get it.
Rabbi, aren't there, in a sense, two different types of emotions? Kind of the emotion that pulls us down, like the Yetzirah, and then there's kind of an intuitive emotional level, which is that deeper insight. Sometimes our emotions are totally fooling us, deceiving us.
First of all, I'm not talking about emotion. I'm talking about Bina, which is on a higher level, but it's a very interesting thing. But what's the root of the word lev? What's the shorish? Anybody know? Levav. I'm assuming roots have three letters. It's levav. And Chazal say on levav that there's two bases because there's two types of emotion. Yetzer hara, yetzer hatov. The Zohar calls it something different. But the thing is that, you know, that is those two different emotions that are going on all the time are affecting every logical decision that we make. I think that's something we need to know. It's like, the point is always made that, you could be sitting in front of the Gedolei Hador in a Beis Din, Reb Chaim Oizer's Beis Din, and you pulled the halacha, you know, a kavanah Torah, emor, yiro. You're sitting in front of the Reb Chaim Oizer, and the Baal Din takes his chair and helps him get into the chair when he's sitting down. The halacha is pasil naladina. I can't paskin on this any longer because you did me a favor. So we'll see. You did something good for me. Ashoichad yaver inichachon. Ashoichad doesn't let me think any. It was ashoichad for Reb Chaim Oizer that somebody pushed his chair for him. They didn't leave him for a second alone. He was, why is that ashoichad? It affects the emotional part of it, which is now going to affect my decision making, because a Beis Din is midas avdin, and has to do with just thinking completely logically. It's not the same as limud haTorah. So once you mix into this shoychad, you've messed up the whole logical thinking, yeah? Which is why it's so difficult for people to be makabel and munas Hashem, no matter how much you read books that prove it, because there's an emotion called the Yetzer Hara, which is saying, shoychad, well, if I accept all this truth, you know, I'm not going to be able to go skiing next Saturday.
You know? How should we understand v'yadata hayom? We say it three times a day. What does it mean?
So it sounds like it's like, I'm guessing on this a little bit, I have to think it through, but it sounds like it's going backwards a little bit. In other words, v'yadata hayoim, there's yidia, and then there's tshuva, v'ashevosa alavavecha, you have to internalize it to the point of emotion. So what that means is that I can't just change my ways behavioristically. V'ashivoy selubavecha means I have to be able to change who I am and what I am and how I feel about that whole situation. It's a big avoda, but it might be the most important avoda in avoda session. Right? Might be. Like what else actually are we trying to do if not for to be good people and make the right decisions? But it's interesting where a Beis Din is not allowed to get their emotion involved. When you're learning Torah, when those same Rabbanim on the Beis Din are learning Torah, they have to get to the makom of Lev to be a Dayan altogether. So in Kabbalistic words, whereas this is in the world of Asiya and that's in the world of Yetzirah and Bria. So let's go to Perek Yutes, this the end, and I want to just spend a few minutes on this. We'll finish Perek Yutes. The Nefesh HaChaim is, let me remind you, is bringing a number of Mar Makamas one after the other, where a Talmud Chacham that learns Torah Lishma, and this is Mamish what we're talking about, by the way, Talmud Chacham that learns Torah Lishma is Me'al Shamayim Chastecha. It's not just Ad HaShemayim Chastecha, but as he said at the very first words of Perek Yutes, Shem Hashem Nikra Alav. Alav. And Me'al Shamayim Chastecha means a number of things. He tells us one after the other, but what it really means is that I'm above the areas of logic. I'm above above nature. In other words, he said in a couple of paragraphs ago, Yodea drachim stumim esodes hamukim. If you get to this level of Torah, so you automatically know Nister. You automatically know the secrets. What does it mean? It means, I remember when I succeeded Rabbi Wein as the rabbi of his shul in Muncie. He made Aliyah and I took over the shul. So I said to Rabbi Wein, can you tell me about just give me some insight into the Kehillah so I can better understand it. So he said in his inimitable way, 50% of them get it and 50% of them don't. That was Roiv Chachmas, and since then, I'll tell you, Rabbi Wein, if you have a half hour conversation with him, you could write a book. there's a lot there, what does it mean to get it? Some people get it here and some people get it there, and they get it with their lave also, and they really get it, the insight of it. And that's that comes from learning Torah Lishma, and you're zoicha to a higher place, and that's called getting it. You're understanding Torah in a different place, from a different place, and then you really get it. You really do get it. And if you find a big Talmud Chacham that has a huge memory and he's able to tell you all the shitas and everything, that doesn't mean he gets it. He could be like the words of the Svarim, Chamar Noisekelim, which is not a derogatory term, but it's not. And then there's some people that just get them. Maybe they don't even have all the Mar Makomos of that guy, but they there's a wisdom where they get it because they got to the place of lev, as we were saying. So
to connect it to what the Rebbe was saying before, it's that connecting the Chochmah and the lev together. Right. You can't have one without the other, right?
Right. A lot of people, for instance, like they're, when they talk, it sounds like their mouth is unlinked from their brain, like a train got, or they talk like their brain has been unlinked from their heart. Like, we could get into that pattern where we're just talking about stuff and maybe even make sense, but we don't really feel what we're talking. It's a big avoda to stop and think about what we're talking about, what we're feeling. So at the end of the chapter, Perek Yutes, he brings a Zohar. With Parshas Balak, I mentioned the Zohar. I said we have to look at the Zohar carefully, so let's look at it for a few minutes. With Parshas Balak, Resh Beis Amud Aleph. Everyone have the place? Tachazeh, it's actually quite fascinating, the Zohar. Tachazeh, come take a look. How Hashem considers with chavivus those that learn Torah. He's talking about lishma. How do I know? Because if you look in the Zohar, the whole thing is talking about Torah lishma. The afilu, where do you see the chavivus of Hashem to a Talmud Chacham? The afilu bezimna de dina talya ba'alma. I think we're living in such a time. Even if you're living in a time that there's midas hadin in the world, and the Malach HaChabola, means the Malach HaMavis, is given Rishus to do damage. Meaning like Hashem says, okay, go get him. But not this individual or that individual. It's a Zaman of Din. Idin Derischa. Lailena. Kuchabrichu, but even in such a time, Kuchabrichu fakid lay Elia alinun the kamishdal by Raisa. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the Malach, don't mess with those that are mishdal by Raisa. Vahachi amr lay Kuchabrichu, and this is what Hashem says. And here's Psukim and Devarim, which we So we're talking about making war when the Jewish army goes in to a city and makes a war, and what are the laws of the war, and what are you allowed to take, and what are you not allowed to take, and here is the Zoharic pshat in the pasuk: Kisatzer el ir, when you take siege of a city, lay siege on a city, begain choveyun sagin. Because of, take this to a different level than a city, because of their huge amount of averus, says Hashem talking to the Malach HaMavis. It's not talking about to the generals of the army. This is Hashem talking to the Malach HaMavis. And he's saying, begin choveyun sagin. I'm letting you go and lay siege on this particular place because that's midas hadin, because of the big choveis that they did, like stone, yeah? Tav afchid loch al bnei vesi. I want to command all of my soldiers. That means all the malachim. Bnei vesi. Loi sashchis es etza, pasuk in the Torah. Do not destroy the tree. You're going into a city, destroy their houses, destroy their grain piles, but don't destroy the tree. Loisashkis is Eitza. Says the Zoyar Dotam Chacham de Ihubamasa. It's referring to the Talmud Chacham in the city. Why? The Ihu Ilana de Chaya. Because he, according to the Zohar, is the Eitz Chayim. It's not Loisashkis is Eitza. Is don't just, it doesn't mean don't destroy a tree or don't even destroy a Talmud Chacham. Like we know in Gan Eden, there was an Eitz Chaim. And this Talmud Chacham is giving nourishment to L'chayr, the whole city. The Hahu, the Yoiv, Ita Lamasa. He's giving Eitz, you get the pun here, Eitz as a tree and Eitz as advice. Hahu, the Yoiv, Ita Lamasa. V'oilif line, Urcha diyavim, and he's telling everybody the right way to go. So don't sell the farm. In other words, don't. Balda loisashchis es etza l'ndoich halav garzim. So he tells the Malach HaMavis, don't hit them. Apparently, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, by Makas Bechiris, we all went. As long as we stayed in our house, we were able to. We were saved because of what we were. Don't hit them with the flaming sword. Because a person is a Talmud Chacham, ha'adam who eats hasada. We know that pasuk. Da ikri adam, dishtamoida alei v'sata. This is the pshat in an adam. Adam eats hasada. V'cholda pakid kuchibrichu al inan de mishdad lebayraisa. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands to his malachim regarding those that are mishdad lebayraisa. Now the Nefesh HaChaim says here, ayin sham ba'orach, look in the Zohar. So I follow instructions and I looked in the Zohar. And the Zohar has actually a few different pshatim in this. And then if we have time to go, I have the Zohar here. And I don't know if we should go through the whole thing, but You can. It's on Parshas Balach Resh Beis Amud Aleph. The Zohar basically tells us that a Talmud Chacham that learns Torah Lishma not only is giving Eitzah to the people in the city, which doesn't seem to be going too well because they're all doing a lot of chayvus, he's telling the Malach HaMavis, don't destroy the Talmud Chacham because, this is what the Zohar says, because you're living off him. The Talmud Chacham himself, the Torah Lishma, is being mefarnes the whole system of the Bria Atzilus, Bria Yitzira Asiya. And if that Talmud Chacham is not learning in the world of Malchus, you're not going to exist. You're not going to be able to do your job. So don't pull the plug out on yourself. That's what the Zohar says here. Ayraisa dahu zako kivyachol iu mefarnislo. V'yoiv lamazuna b'hai alma. Yasser mikol korban da alma. So this is fascinating. What's the difference between learning Torah Lishma and bringing a korban? What's the connection, you'll say? Well, both of them are ways of reaching Hashem. But the difference is, Zohar here explains it in Parshas Balak, that when you bring a korban, that's something that we're taking from the Tachtonim, and we're elevating it to Hashem. And when it comes, you know, we say Uval Tzion every day, Makablin Dain Min Dain V'Amrim Kaddish B'Shmei Meroimah, that whatever we bring, the Malachim take, and they bring it up, and they bring it up, and they bring it up, and it stands before Hashem, hopefully. Our tfilos, our korbanos. But when you learn Torah Lishma, you're coming at it from a different angle. There's two different ways of dealing with the problem here. When you're learning Torah Lishma, you're not bringing a korban from, it's not going from down to up. Torah Lishma is you get it, as I say. You are in the Olam of Lev, the Olam of Atzilus Mamash, the Neshamas of, this is Zohar, the Neshamas of a Tzaddik is created Tachas Kisei HaKavod, which is in the Olam of Bria. So in other words, the Torah Lishma, Yisrael, V'kuchabrichu, V'araisa Chadhu, is a whole different idea. It's not that you're bringing something up to appease God, which the Malachim have some ability to resist, apparently. You see, yes, makabel the carbon, not makabel the carbon, kain and hevel. But Lo'im Torah Lishma goes above the Malachim in the same bechina of Ein Mazel Yisrael. It goes above the Malachim and works downwards, and it's mefarnes the Malachim. It gives parnasa to the Malachim, meaning there's no Malachim if there's no... So he's literally standing on the highest place, not the highest place, but it's, as the Zohar says, coming in on when the world, when the aura of the world is coming from the world of Atzilus to the world of Bria, there's the neshama of... That's where the neshama of a Talmud Chacham can get to and affect things. Mamash Mirosh. You understand this? Like, it's such a fundamental and holistic, if you will, such a functional change. In other words, like a korban is okay. I did a chet, I did a shogeg, I did a mezid, I did a this, but here you're getting like the Torah Lishma, and this is just what we're learning this whole time. The Torah Lishma is not getting you to from this way up. It's getting you right in the kishkas of where everything is coming from. And you can make a tikkun from that. So the Gemara says, Reb Tzaddik in the time of Bar Kochba, Reb Tzaddik was holding up the city of Beitar. Lot was holding up the city of Stone. If there would have been 10 tzaddikim, that's what it would have needed. Throughout history, you know, being that when I say this, the elephant in the room, if you will, is that, you know, Hashem says to the Malach HaMavis, don't hurt the Talmud Chacham, but we all know that so many Talmud Chacham got so hurt. I don't know the answer to that question, but I do want to tell you a quick story that I know, which is a real story, which gave me chizuk, and I want to share it with you, if I may. But, you know, the Belzer Rebbe in Europe, or Barla Belzer, who came to Yerushalayim. And when he came to Yerushalayim, or Tel Aviv originally, I believe, Abishai came with a suitcase. He had lost all their chassidim. They lost all their money. They lost their moistus. They lost everything. And here's, you know, Gadol Hador, pre-war Europe, coming to Eretz Yisrael with garnish. You know, you look at Belz today, and it's an amazing, like what they've been able to build since the Holocaust is just like a mess. But in any case, he had nothing. And he had one brother. His brother was the father of the current Belzer Rebbe. So when his brother died, and Rabbi Aaron Belzer was sitting Shiva for his brother, the only thing he had left. And of course, the current Belzer Rebbe was a kid, and he was also sitting Shiva. I think I have the story right, but it's not even that important. That's not my point, but I think I have the genealogy correct. Anyways, he's sitting Shiva, and the Ger Rebbe, which must have been the Imre Emes, or the Beis Yisrael, I'm not sure exactly the time, but the Ger Rebbe came to be Menachem Avil, Tzadik, Barla Belzer. And he's sitting there, and the current Belzer Rebbe is sitting there. And, you know, I happened to be in a house once, and while I was being Menachem Avil, the Ger Rebbe came to be Menachem Avil, this Ger Rebbe. And the way it worked was he came in with a bunch of his chassidim, he sat down, everybody stood up, he sat there for about 2 minutes, and he said, "Amakim minachem eschem b'sechshar v'latim Yerushalayim," and he left. There was no diburim, there was just some kind of a spiritual connection between these two people. There were no discussion. I don't know, I go to Shaval's, I always feel like I got his half, so what are you going to say? What's going to, you know, he was quiet, the Gerab, but this Gerab, just quiet. But I'm obviously, Nichum Avelu. Anyway, so the Gerab looked at everything that Ramar and Belzer had gone through, and all the different suffering that he had gone through, and all the losses that he had, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help, that you should have no more Yisurim. That was what the Ger Rebbe said. And Rabbi Arla Belzer looked up at the Ger Rebbe and he said, "Rebbe, I've never had any Yisurim." So, you know, that's the end of the story. Like, you know, we have to always realize that, you know, so often, you know, we relate to suffering in the way that we would experience that suffering. And it's not necessarily so that the tzaddik experiences the suffering in the same way that you would or we would experience that suffering, and we're applying it to him and we're like, "Okay, such a sir." But Rabbi Akiva, let's say, you know, Rabbi Akiva Hayu Masachik, it was in a whole different place. I'm not in that place, but he was in that place. And the tzaddikim through the Darius were in that place. So what am I saying with this? It's hard to judge. Hard to say. You know, you can look at things sort of objectively and say, well, you know, this is suffering, that's suffering. That's not. I don't know. Suffering is a subjective idea of where you are with Hashem at that point. So that's my story. I wish everybody a good day. I wish you have a Besuras Tovos and Yeshuas and a Chavos and a good, beautiful
Amen.
Shabbos.
Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Rebbe.
Thank you, Rebbe. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yishakuch. Hi, Yisachar. How are you? You left?
Yeah. I'm still here.
Oh, good. Okay. That's all I want to say.
Baruch Hashem. Thank you. And you?
Baruch Hashem.
Hashem. A good Shabbos.